Amen. For the scripture tonight, I wanted to do a couple of things. I want to share a little bit here with you from the big day. We've had to continue to have notes sent to us and various messages, and thought we might give you a couple of these. But hearing a lot of good reports. Here's a note that was typed up from an email all the way from Melbourne, Florida, thanking us for the gospel message on the website and the radio. And a man gives his name here, just call him Tony here, says, "I'm renewing my faith in Christ today and claiming his grace." So we reach a little further sometime than we think, some good things that the Lord has got going on with us. Here's something a lot of times we forget to mention, but some of our folks go out and they hold services in some of the mobile home parks or whatever the different names of several different ones. We, of course, know about Florida Campground, but there's several others. And here's a little thing that appeared in one of their, in the Beacon in this particular park. And I believe it, am I saying it right? West Ridge, is that where Brother Lewis Cruz ministers? Anybody know? West View Ridge, all right. I done good to get that much of it right. But anyway, he does a good job. And here's a note that a man wrote up in the Beacon out there. And I'll just read a little part of it. We enjoyed our experience, in particular the Sunday worship services conducted by Lewis Cruz, Radio 90.3 station manager at Landmark Baptist Church in Haines City. Lewis and his two sisters conducted the service, which consisted of good sermons by Lewis and music by the two sisters and Lewis. We rarely missed any of their services. He goes on and gets off on another subject. By the way, he said he did take up a collection to buy them a new electric piano. Now, I believe I'm understanding that right. Nod your head at me. Is that right? All right. Good. All right. Anyway, that's good. Well, a lot of good things happening, and we praise the Lord for that. We have had a few calls into the office, and some that have promised to come back and be with us. And so we're excited about what the Lord is going to do. I've received notes from people you'd know, like Brother Priel Hart up in Georgia, Brother Kevin Mann out in Texas, and various different ones that was watching, able to watch over the internet or however they do it. And anyway, it's been a real positive thing. I thought I might do this just for a minute tonight. We did this Sunday night a little bit in recognizing bus ministry and other things that was going on. But Billy, come around with your microphone over here where Brother James Vercellus is. I want to question him a little bit on the bus results Sunday. Brother James, how many buses did you run? How many did you have on them?
We ran four buses.
Stand up. I'd see you better, whether I can hear you better or not. That's working. All right.
We ran four buses this weekend.
And how many did you have total, you think?
508.
That's good, isn't it? That's good. Now, the total buses was what, 1390? Is that what the board's showing back there?
1392.
92. That's tremendous. Now, he caused us the only problem I know of we had. He got one kid mixed in with those that belonged on another bus.
We had two.
Two. I didn't know but about one. Don't tell me about the other. Is he home yet?
As far as I know.
With that many on the buses, it's a miracle that we just got two. But Brother Pitts and Brother Hipley was running around asking me what to do about it, all I knew to do was pray. So I guess it all come out in the wash. You got any particular word you'd like to share with us? I know a bunch of them got saved off of your route, and we got a lot of follow-up to do. I understand that. But any particular thing you'd share with us, Brother James?
I'd have to say the biggest thing is one of the things that was pushing us as a team to keep going on was something we kept on questioning, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is he worth it? Is our Lord and Savior worth it? And he's worth it all. He's worth everything we can possibly give him. And I firmly believe that our team gave everything we possibly could to bring as many people as we could to that special day. I can't speak for the other buses, but I did ask on my bus how many souls were saved, how many accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. And I won't mention how many we had on the bus for the sake of the videotape and the internet and all that. But 28 hands were raised, 28 souls were saved on just my bus alone. We also had at least two adults that we know of that were saved, one of which was the occurrence there with baptism. And we also had a teenager that had been battling about her salvation since teen camp, and she got that settled as well. And that's what it's all worth right there. It's even just one soul being saved, but to see many more, it's a blessing.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. And you know, everybody worked hard. I don't know how many hours of visitation went in on those bus routes, but it was a big amount. And Saturday, basically all day. And God just blessed. And we praise the Lord for answered prayer when it comes to safety and all the rest of it that's involved. All right. Thank you, Brother James. I appreciate that. How many of you own the bus that you worked on? If you're a college student or your bus worker on the bus, how many on your bus you had at least 100 on that route? Would you raise your hand? Hold it up. Hold it up good. I want to look. Now that's tremendous. Amen. That don't happen. You just don't ride a bus around on Sunday morning, toot the horn, and everybody comes out and gets on it. I've known a few churches thought that's all you had to do was get a bus and go around and toot the horn. And I could tell you some stories on that, but that don't work. You gotta go out and let the kids know you care about them and that you're interested in them. And then it'll work. In other words, you get out of it really what you put in it. If you put your heart in it, you get a blessing there. Otherwise you don't. Let me open it up for just for the scriptural lesson tonight. Let me open it up just for a minute for maybe two or three testimonies of somebody that something special on that day that you'd like to share with us is one of my secretaries, Janet Bashaw. Janet, are you in here or are you somewhere else? Where's Janet? Get a microphone over to Janet. She didn't know I was going to do this, but I want you to tell the folks, Janet, about the little girl that right after church that you walked over to the party and what she said to you. Hold it. Get that microphone on. Try it again.
Okay, there we go. I was walking over to the park, there was a little 9-year-old girl, and she was just standing where everybody was walking past her, so I asked her if she needed something, and she said yes, and then she just so maturely said that she was looking for her auntie, and so I said, well, I can help you find her. And we started off to find her family. And she said, guess what? And I said, what? And she said, today I had my sins forgiven. And she was just so cheerful about it. And then she said, and now Jesus is my Savior. And then she just couldn't say enough good about the church. And it was her first time here, so whoever the girls' Sunday school teachers were, they did a great job with her.
Amen. That's what it's all about, folks. I told the Sunday school teachers a while ago, sometimes these kids run deeper than you think. They think deeper and understand more than sometimes we might think. Somebody else got a word for us now. We'll give you a chance, all right? Brother EJ right here, Brother Hill. Yeah, take the microphone. Don't hold it too close. You're powerful enough.
Thank you. I worked with Brenda Congdon. It was a pleasure to do that. First time that I worked with her in a real good way. And we had a clear chairs off in the back of the big tent over there to find room that we could win the lost to Christ to get room for us. I never shuffled so many chairs around in a short time in my life. I believe I had 12 or 15 that I prayed with to receive Jesus under the ministry that she was doing. She had, 72? That's right. That's very good.
Amen.
And three girls came in. Said, I drove from Orlando. I said, well, that's good. She said, I think I can come next Sunday night. I got my own car. And they all, she came with three guys, and they all, three women, they all four got saved. That's four of them.
Amen.
And what a pleasure that was. So they weren't part of your 2,993 or whatever you had.
Yeah.
So put your math up, four more. They didn't get church, but they got Jesus in their heart.
Amen. All right. There's some others walked in off the street to the party, and no way you can prevent that. In many cases, they got preached to over there, or somebody talked to them about their soul. So that's what it's all about. Amen. Somebody else got a quick word for us? Any other blessing to share with us? Nobody else had a blessing? Right down here on the front row, Brother Hill, if you can get right down here. And somebody else, maybe, okay, I've got Carrie, that may be the last one. Go ahead right here.
It was a blessing. I was in Brother Greg's junior church, and Ms. Cameron told me about there's some parents outside waiting because they weren't in church, and it was just a blessing to see all those people out there. I started talking to this father, and he said he wasn't too sure about his salvation. I got to lead him to the Lord, and it was just a blessing to see all the people that came to know the Lord that day, and that was my blessing.
Amen. I also say this, when all the visitation, passing out the flyers and the door knocking that went on for several days, there was a lot of folks that got saved in that effort also. All right, Carrie.
I just wanted to say I was so blessed with this past Sunday. It was the first time that we had the bus route, and you know, the college students on our bus route are just amazing, and they're just super, and I was just so blessed to see their enthusiasm and their excitement. And Mr. Wiebe, God love him, he drove the bus, and it was so foggy that morning, and he did such a great job, and I know the Lord was with us. But he was telling us that particular bus route had never done 100, had only been in the 80s. And so Jeff had made a goal that we would pray for 100. And it seemed like such a big number. But him and Mr. Wiebe had gone out and visiting on Thursday nights, and Jeff took a vacation day on Friday. Didn't go to work that day on Friday and spent all day Friday out in visitation. And every day after work, he went out, and they had many souls saved throughout the week on their visitation. And for us to have 107 crammed in that bus was just amazing. We were all counting, and when the 100th child got on the bus, the whole bus exploded because we just were so excited that we had met that 100.
Amen.
We had some more stops to go, and it was just, God was just so good to do that, and it was just a blessing. And I'm just real proud of all the effort and all the work that all the bus workers put into it. It was great.
Amen. All right. That's tremendous. We praise the Lord for it. All right. I just thought we might share a little bit there about it. And like I say, we've been getting some testimonies coming in. And I don't think we've heard the last. I think we're going to continue to hear some good things, have some good results. And I believe some of the folks that were first-time visitors with us will come back. The couple, I'm losing their name right now, that...
Was it going to be?
The ones that came forward, the older couple that came forward Sunday morning, I lost their name anyway. But at the door, I told them that... glad to have him, and I don't know if I said something like, see you next week. He said, oh, no, you'll see me tonight. And they were back on Sunday night, and so we praise the Lord for that. And just a lot of good things that happened. All right, we just wanted to do that for a little bit. I'm going to ask Stephen to come on now and bring some scripture to us.
I remember when I was younger, I might have done this a time or two, confessed my faults one to another like the Bible says. My dad would sometimes say he needed a few testimonies to get him going before he taught the lesson that night. Sometimes I would root for, you know, one more testimony. Before you knew it, all the time was used up. So I kind of wondered if that was happening tonight since it was my turn to teach. Amen. But anyway, I did have a testimony I wanted to give from Sunday also. Some school parents that I think they live more in the Kissimmee area and don't attend here, attend in the Kissimmee area. But they found me over in the ball field pretty early on in the party time there. And they were speaking to me, and the lady told me, she goes, "Do you realize that one of the men that got saved and baptized this morning in the service in the auditorium, he's from the same island that I'm from?" And I said, "Well, that's interesting. You know, it's pretty, you know, pretty neat thing, coincidence there." And then her husband proceeded to tell me how remote the island was and how big of a deal that was. He says, "There's only like 600 people on this island that my wife came from, and you have to take a 6-hour boat ride just to get to that island. If a woman's going to have a baby or anything, they have to leave. They have to plan way in advance. You can't just go into labor and make it to a hospital real easy or anything like that. It's a very, very remote place." So they were able to talk to the man after the service, and they were so excited to see someone get saved and then follow the Lord even that morning in baptism from that island. And they were just thrilled. They were visitors that day, but they were very thrilled with what the Lord had done that morning also. So I thought I'd share that with you this evening. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Philemon. We'll just spend a few minutes here. And we've been here twice before. Once on a Wednesday night, we talked about the man himself, and then Philemon, the one that the letter is written to. And then on a Sunday morning, we preached the gospel message that you find in the book of Philemon. And we talked about that on a Sunday morning, Sunday before last, I think it was. And so maybe we'll get a little bit further, maybe not finish it tonight. I kind of made up my mind earlier that I wouldn't try and finish the thing tonight, but I would try and just get a little bit further. And what we'll call this is a lesson in forgiveness. And we can see that in Philemon also tonight as we look at this. And I'll give you a little bit of an overview. And remember, this is a personal letter that was written to this man that really lived. And you got to remember his name, right? Philemon. Okay, does that help you? Sometimes jingles help. That didn't help at all, I can tell. But when I was a teenager, there used to be this is terrible, I know. But when I was a teenager, I'd be watching sports or something, and there were speed stick commercials by Menon. But anyway, so I kind of thought, let me continue on with my introduction here. Philemon is a personal letter that Paul wrote to his dear friend here, this real man that lived, that was a friend of Paul's. And we found out that Philemon was a dedicated believer who had opened up his own home, his own property, the place where he lived, where his family resided, his wife, who's mentioned in verse 2, and his son that's mentioned in verse 2 also. They'd opened up their home for the church at Colossae to meet there. Okay? And remember the purpose for the writing of this letter. We find it around verse number 10 here, and I don't know if I'll read back over it tonight or not, but the purpose for Paul writing this letter was that he had met a young man while in prison there in Rome. This young man's name was Onesimus, and he'd led Onesimus to the Lord. And it comes to find out that it's a small world after all, just like a lady from a remote island can see someone saved and baptized as she visits a church on a big Sunday. Paul can go to prison in Rome and get transported all the way to Rome, and then maybe in prison or maybe in his house arrest or whatever the scenario might have been, he meets someone that's actually a servant of a man that he knew that he'd led to the Lord in previous years, Philemon. This servant's name was Onesimus. He was actually at that time the personal property of this businessman, Philemon. That's what Onesimus was. He was his servant, and that was his lot in life during that time. And Paul had met him in Rome and led him to the Lord, but there was a problem because since Onesimus had been Philemon's servant, he had rebelled against his master. He had left. He'd fled. He He left them in rebellion, might have stole from them. It kind of seems like he did, according to the intent or of the letter, the information that we find in the letter. So we have the three main characters. We have Paul, the Apostle Paul. We're most familiar with him because we read about him in that history book of the book of Acts. And that takes you through a lot of the church age epistles that Paul writes. But you have some others that you have to piece together the information, kind of like we're doing here in Philemon and in Colossians and in different places after you get past the Acts period, that historical period there. And so you have the Apostle Paul. He was in a close partnership. He had a relationship, a personal friendship with this man, Philemon. They had served together. Philemon had served. He was a co-laborer together in the ministry that God had given the Apostle Paul. And then you have Onesimus. He's the rebellious runaway servant. He's the one that had left Philemon. He'd fled from him. And now he has a relationship with Paul. Okay? And then the third character, I skipped the second character. That was the third character. The second character is Philemon. He is the offended master of Onesimus. So, if you remember back a week or two ago, if you were here for part of that service or whatever, we learned three great spiritual truths. We tried to preach those on a Sunday morning, preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, like we try to do every Sunday morning, of course. And the three great spiritual truths that we talked about and learned and saw illustrated in this little tiny 25 verses of this one chapter book of Philemon, we saw, number one, the doctrine of mediation. We see Paul there as a mediator. He has a relationship with Philemon, but he also has a relationship with Onesimus. What does he do with that relationship? Does he stand idly by and not exert himself in any way? No, he yearns for reconciliation between those two people he has a relationship with. He is a picture of that mediator. I'm so thankful today, just like Philemon, and just like Onesimus needed a mediator to see the things reconciled and see the relationship restored and see forgiveness offered, I'm so glad today that we have the same opportunity in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to see our relationship with the Heavenly Father restored. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great mediator, is He not? There is one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, okay? You can't do it on your own. You mess things up on your own. We'll give each other credit for that, okay? But you can't fix it on your own. I know our male pride sometimes tells us, men, that I messed it up, I'm going to fix it. Yeah, we try and we make it worse, don't we? Maybe sometimes you look to somebody else. Well, they will go and fix it for me. Boy, looking at them from the outside, they have all their ducks in a row. They have all their life in order. And you go to them and they're going to do it for you. No, they're incapable. They don't have the ability. But there's one that does, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else enters into your relationship with God the Father except the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus. No priest, no preacher, no pastor, no teacher, no nothing, no professor does not enter into that relationship. Yes, they can help you. They can teach you things. They can edify you in the Scripture like we're trying to do tonight as we gather around this Word of God. They can do those things. They can serve those roles, but they do not enter into your personal relationship with God. If they say they do, they're wrong and run and flee from that situation. Amen. There's no mediatrix, by the way, between God and man. No matter what false religion tells you, the load's not too heavy that Christ can't bear the burden. He ever liveth and He maketh intercession for us. He doesn't need any earthly person's help, not even His earthly mother Mary's help. He doesn't need her help either. You can't find that in the Scripture. It's nowhere to be found, okay? And just stick to the Scripture because that's the book that God wrote. Don't let man add to it. Don't let man take away from it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the crux of our existence, our relationship, our standing before God the Father in heaven. And we see that great spiritual truth of the doctrine of mediation. We see it illustrated here in this great, great passage, this little book, this final book of the church age letters from the Apostle Paul. And we see it here illustrated in Paul's relationship with Philemon and Onesimus. And then number two, we see the doctrine of imputation also illustrated. The word impute is in your Bible. It's in your King James Bible. The word impute means to charge or to credit. It depends on how you want to apply that. The word impute is dealing with, as we look at it in the passage, look at verse 18. Let's read a verse here. That'll help. Verse 18 of Philemon. Look at it. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. And I'll stop right there because we'll read that verse here in just a little bit. Here you have the doctrine of imputation. Yes, someone else wronged you. Yes, someone else owes you. Yes, someone else is under obligation to you. But instead of holding them accountable for it, put it on mine account. I've written it with mine own hand. The Lord Jesus Christ can say, I've paid for it with mine own blood.
Amen.
All of our sins charged, not to us, not to our account, but to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We talked about that. It's bad when you get a cough and you got the lapel mic on, isn't it? I'll try to shield it if I remember. If not, you'll hear all the business there. Amen? But getting better. Only the first three or four rows should be affected tonight, all right? This airborne disease. I'm just kidding, hopefully. Hopefully it's not airborne disease, right? Amen? Anyway, you have this doctrine of imputation here, and what you have is Paul saying here, I will pay for it. I will pay for it. I will take charge. I will. You hold me accountable for whatever obligation, whatever debt is there. Remember that song we sing? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I might have got that backwards, but we know the song we're talking about. And that's what we're singing about, what Jesus Christ has done for us. And you see the illustration here of the doctrine of imputation. Then also, lastly, we looked at the doctrine of identification. The doctrine of identification, verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Paul's sending Onesimus back. He's saying, based upon my relationship with you, Philemon, Paul says, based upon our partnership, mine and yours, Philemon, when Onesimus comes back, and who do you think delivered the letter, by the way? We'll talk about that in a minute. When Onesimus comes back, don't receive him like you're receiving a runaway slave. Don't take him in like someone that, boy, he, now that you got him, you better keep him in tight reins, and you better exact from him all that he owes you. No, receive him like I just walked through your door. The relationship we have, the standing that we have together in our partnership and relationship, that's how I want you to treat Onesimus like it was me. Well, that's good stuff right there, because that's the same thing the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, to God the Father in heaven. Oh boy, he doesn't have to treat us. I said it the other day, but you don't have to come in the back door of heaven, because when we come in, God the Father treats us like he's receiving his own dear precious son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He receives us as himself, the Lord Jesus. Well, that's good news right there, and what a great spiritual truth is illustrated in these few verses of this little short letter epistle. So let's get into it a little bit tonight. Remember, Paul's heart was to see the relationship of Philemon and Onesimus mended. He wanted to see it restored, but I'll give you a couple things here real quick in a few minutes. For this to happen, for this restoration to happen, for this mending, for this reconciliation to happen, a couple things had to happen first, had to occur before that could take place. Number one, let's look at this together. Onesimus had to be willing to go back to Philemon. Now, you ever messed up things so bad you don't want to ever face it again, you just want to run from it? Don't you think Onesimus had to feel that way? And by the way, let's just look here. It says at the end of Philemon, after verse 25 there, and I know I'm looking at the Cambridge text here, but I'm sure your Bible has something similar. It has a little paragraph symbol there, and it says, written from Rome to Philemon by Onesimus, a servant. If I go over to Colossians, at the end of Colossians, which is just a couple pages back to my left before 1 Timothy there, I believe. Last time I checked, that's where it was at. Well, you get past Thessalonians too, of course. You get there to the end of Thessalonians, and you have written from Rome to the Colossians, and by. What does that mean, by? It's delivered by. Here's your USPS or your UPS or your FedEx right here. It's Tychius, and that's what I call him, and Onesimus. So Paul in Rome writes that letter to the Colossians. Pardon me. The he writes that letter to the Colossians. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. Try not to let it happen, but sometimes it just happens. He writes that letter to the Colossians, and then he also wrote the letter to Philemon there also. So who delivered it? Well, there's another man mentioned there, Tychius, but Onesimus is in that. How would you like to go back and face the man that you had wronged? How would you like to go back and face all the wrong you had done, face maybe, possibly, the debt you owed because you had taken wrongfully before you ever left, and you had to face all that, and then you had to deliver the letter that you knew was about you? That wouldn't be the funnest thing. It's kind of like a kid getting in trouble at school, getting a letter from the teacher a little bit, having to come home, and they know they got to give it to their parents because they'll get in worse trouble if they don't give it to their parents. But they don't enjoy giving that letter to their parents. Especially don't enjoy hearing that paper, that letter being opened. Amen? Because then sometimes, and hopefully, rightfully, business does pick up. Okay? So that's a little bit probably how Onesimus had to feel in this situation. So Onesimus had to be willing to go back to Philemon, and he had to seek to make things right. Then number two, of course, deals with Philemon. Philemon had to be willing to receive back Onesimus, had to receive him back, had to forgive him, had to restore him. Verse number 12, look at it. Whom I have sent again. It says have sent. Doesn't say I'm sending him pretty much. He's already made up his mind. He's sending him. He didn't say, well, I'm going to write to you, find out what your mind is. Then I'll see if test the waters a little bit and then see if it's safe if I send Onesimus back. I'll prepare you. No, I'm sending him. When you read this letter, he's going to be standing right there in front of you pretty much is what Paul's saying. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Verse 17, I read it already, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So here we see what Onesimus, what he was facing. Here we see what Philemon was facing. We see here in the scripture, verses 12, verses 15, verses 17, once again, that three times the word receive is used there. And we all understand what the word receive means and how it's used, of course, in the context. So here we have Paul sending Onesimus back to Colossae. At the same time, he's sending back this letter to Philemon. At the same time, he's also sending this letter to the Colossian church. So we see all that here. And by the way, let's just go back over there to the left and look at Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 3. I just thought this would be a great verse to pull out for the few minutes we have tonight. Colossians 3. Look at verse 13 and 14 real quick. This is written to that local assembly there in Colossae. What does it say? Verse 13, forbearing one another. What does it mean to forbear? That means you got to bear something for an extended period of time, maybe a short period, but maybe a long period. You got to have some forbearance there. Forbear one another. The worst thing to do is have to forbear somebody else, put up with somebody else. Tolerates not doesn't capture the whole word there, doesn't capture the whole meaning there. You have to deal with something, even if it's something you don't enjoy dealing with, but you got to do it anyway. Why? Because it's right to do. And it's not your responsibility how they're acting or what they're doing. It's your responsibility how you're acting and what you're doing before the Lord Jesus Christ. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, verse 14, put on charity, which makes the whole thing happen, right? Which is the bond of perfectness. So here you have in Colossians 3, 13 and 14, you have some incredible doctrinal verses for us as believers in Christ Jesus, but here you have the man that's delivering it, and the other epistle that was delivered, maybe the whole local church got let in on that. I don't know if they did or not. At one time, they probably did. I know this local church got let in on it and lots of other local churches for hundreds of years about what happened with Philemon. Here is a living example, real life drama or drama. Here's a real story illustrating this truth of forgiveness. I think that's interesting. Paul, as God's using him as his human pen to write those words about forbearing one another and forgiving one another, you think it possibly popped into Paul's human mind. Boy, Philemon and Onesimus, I hope they're a real good example of this truth that the resurrected Lord has given us. I'm sure it did. I'm sure he's just a man. He's just human like the rest of us. Paul was, and I think he would have probably thought about that. I think that probably would have crossed his mind. Paul desired for the situation between Philemon and Onesimus to be a living display of these verses to that local congregation. I tell you what, it's one thing to know truth. It's one thing to live truth, right?
That's right.
It's another thing to live truth. Which you might stop for a second and ask the question, well, why should Philemon forgive Onesimus? I mean, when somebody wrongs you, and I know it's hard to put ourselves in these ancient times in this particular situation, but that was bad what Onesimus did, okay? I know it's a special situation there, but one person clearly wronged another person. Sometimes it's not always that way. Sometimes both people feel wronged in a situation. And a lot of times, in my dealings with folks, there's plenty of blame to go around, okay? They say there's two sides to every story. Sometimes there's 20 or 30 sides to every story, it seems like, anyway. So there's plenty of blame to go around, that's for sure. But why should Philemon forgive Onesimus? Why should we forgive those who have wronged us? Well, I guess you could say the conclusion of this letter is, like, as we look at verses 19 through verse 25, they're going to provide the answer for us. And sometimes the answer is different than how our human mind thinks. I'd venture to say the answer is definitely different than how our human mind thinks. That's, by the way, that's part of our problem. Okay, I'm not going to get very far into this tonight, and I planned that, okay? We're gonna have part two, man. You have a good movie, you always have a sequel, right? All right, so we have a good Bible lesson. Anyway, so we're gonna get further into this at a later time, but we too many times try to apply human terms to God. You got to remember, God is not a human man like you and me. We humanize and try to humanly rationalize what God thinks, and that's wrong. Sometimes we read something in the Bible, well, what about this? Well, that would have meant that this. You know, you're way down on the wrong level trying to debate things with yourself. Why don't you get up there where the Scripture's at, where God, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than our thoughts, okay? So don't try and bring God down to your depraved, decrepit, error-filled level, okay? God's going to be where God's at, and you need to try and study the Scripture so you can have an understanding that begins to see where God is at there according to the Scripture. So the conclusion of this letter is going to provide an answer for us how we should act as believers. Okay, I'll just give you number one tonight, okay? And maybe not all of number one, but I'll give you number one A and B tonight maybe, okay? Number one, forgiveness brings peace of mind. Forgiveness brings peace of mind. Now look at it again in verse number 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee, Philemon, how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Okay? It's funny how he says, I don't say, and then he says it, right? I always thought that was kind of neat there. That's a good way to do it, amen? But he says here, you owe me your own self. I could just command you, basically. I could just basically, out of your debt to me, just tell you what to do, but I want to see you make the right decisions, what Paul says. And we talked about that maybe a little bit before. Paul had preached the gospel to Philemon. Philemon, in this spiritual sense, of course, owed Paul his life, his spiritual life. There is no life outside of life in Christ Jesus. And as far as we know, and you got to remember, these are different times, and you got to understand the setting back then. There wasn't a gospel preaching church on every corner, okay? That wasn't the issue where Philemon was at in Colossae. The first time Paul came, or when the first time Philemon ever heard the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ is when Paul came and preached it to him. Now, I don't even know if they saw each other in Colossae. My mindset is they didn't, because I know what the book of Colossians says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, where Paul says, I've never seen you face to face. Like the church at Laodicea. I've never seen you face to face. And so I have a special longing in my heart to see you. He talks about that, and you can read that sometimes. So Philemon was a businessman who probably traveled a lot, and maybe Paul ran into him, or that they had some type of interaction, crossed paths some years before in some different place before. But nevertheless, the reason Philemon is saved is because his paths crossed Paul. And by the way, this is a good conviction for me and you, when their paths crossed, Paul didn't keep from preaching the gospel to them, okay? I might have crossed paths with a lot of people, but not every one of them have I preached the gospel to. Paul preached the gospel to Philemon. Philemon got saved. That's what we see. So eternal life, Philemon had eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was Paul that led him to this eternal life. He was the one that brought him to this wellspring overflowing in eternal life because of Christ Jesus. Now think about this. Can you imagine how hypocritical it would have been for Philemon to refuse to forgive Onesimus? For him to refuse to grant forgiveness and to treat him and restore him and to receive him again like Paul is asking him. Here we have now Onesimus is even a brother in Christ, and he's also a friend of Paul. Because of Paul's witness, Philemon had received complete and total forgiveness of all his sins. Now, if he were to withhold forgiveness from Onesimus, whom Paul had asked him to forgive, that would have been extremely hypocritical. And before we say amen too loud, we got to apply that to ourselves, don't we? You know, Ephesians 4:31 is in the Bible, and it does apply to every one of us in this room. Let's look at it, Ephesians 4:31, and we'll close with this verse tonight. Yes, it would have been hypocritical for Philemon to receive forgiveness of sins, salvation in Christ Jesus, and then when he had the opportunity to forgive, to withhold that forgiveness from someone, he had the power to forgive and to make things right. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, I'm sorry. And be ye kind. We'll look at verse 31 next week, maybe. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another. Excuse me. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Now, we got a comma there, right? Yep. So, last thing we read is the statement, forgiving one another. This is believers. This isn't written unbelievers. This is believers here in Ephesus. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Scripture says, here's what you're supposed to do as a believer, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. And here's the basis of how we forgive. This is what the Bible says. It says you forgive someone if they deserve your forgiveness. You forgive someone if they came to you and tried to make right the wrong that they did in the first place. You forgive someone because they've showed some kind of merit, and maybe there's potential there with them, so you ought to forgive them on the basis that maybe one day they'll be a better person that won't go around wronging people anymore. No, the reason we forgive and the only basis for forgiveness is the last part of verse 32, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Not one person in here ever deserved forgiveness. Not one person on this earth has ever deserved forgiveness. God never could have looked down. You know, well, that one deserves forgiveness, that one doesn't. God's never played that picking-pecking game. He's never done it. No, on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, for you, and everybody else on God's green earth, on the basis of what God has done in Christ Jesus for us, is the basis for God saying, yes, he can be forgiven. Yes, she can be forgiven. Yes, those in that country can be forgiven, and so on and so forth. That's the only way of forgiveness based upon what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. His work, his death for our sins, the shedding of his blood, according to the Scripture, his burial in the tomb, his resurrection on the third day, that's the only basis for forgiveness for anyone that's ever gotten it or ever will get it. So if that's the case, then back to our personal application, there's no way we could ever be right personally. There's no way we could ever be right spiritually. There's no way we could ever be right before the Lord God Almighty, who has granted our forgiveness in Christ Jesus, to ever withhold our forgiveness from somebody. Hey, most people that need forgiveness don't deserve forgiveness. When I needed forgiveness, I did not deserve forgiveness. And we can say that and make that application personal for all of us. That's what the Scripture teaches. Number one, and I'm not even finished with number one yet, but we'll be finished with our study tonight. Number one, forgiveness brings peace of mind. Forgiveness brings joy. unforgiveness, withholding forgiveness brings misery. It brings misery. And if we were to spend time in Ephesians 4:31, which we're not tonight, you'd see all the other things that can be, the door can be opened to if you withhold what's in your power to give in Christ Jesus. And that's forgiveness. So when we forgive on the basis of what Christ has done for us. We forgive on the basis of how God has forgiven us. That's what Philemon did. We'll see some more of that next time we get a chance to do a little bit of this Bible study. But that's what this passage is talking about. Let's stand together. We'll have a dismissing word of prayer. We'll have the choir come here as soon as we conclude here in just a moment.